Hey, question. Do you remember the first time we told everyone we were doing this new show, The Beat and the Badge?
Do I remember it?
Do you remember?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember what you brought in studio?
Yes.
It was crime tape.
It was crime scene tape, yes.
Do you happen to still have that in your bag? Because you're a creature of habit and you don't usually like actually get rid of anything. Do you have it? Can you check? I promise there's a reason.
Okay.
I'll explain, because if Gary has this caution tape in his bag, of course you do. Of course I do.
Of course I do.
Of course, it's all organized. It's all perfectly. I'm going to do this, okay? So for those of you who are not watching, I am taking the caution tape and I am separating the two of us, because I want my own space. We are creating our own space. This is my space. This is your space.
Okay.
Are you confused?
Yes.
Today, we're talking about owning your own space.
Yeah, well, yeah, and you are certainly doing that.
I showed it, right? I showed it. You didn't even know that was coming. No, you're like so shocked.
It's so funny, and it's true. But isn't it funny? You know, and we talked about it when we opened it up.
Stop touching my space.
I'm sorry.
You're in my space.
No, it's half mine.
Although, actually, this feels like you have more table. I feel like this is unfair, honestly.
I have more space. Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
My space, your space.
That's right. And isn't it funny how when you talk the beat and the badge, oftentimes the beat and the badge would meet
at the caution tape. See, I told you that I'd bring this right back around. Are you so happy?
You did a great job.
Look how happy you are.
Yes.
Poetry right here. Owning your space. This is something that Gary taught me in the very beginning of our friendship, and I never understood it until I started going out in public with him. Here's what I mean by that. Most recently, we were out at one of our favorite, what would you call it? Like a nutrition shake shop type of place?
Yeah.
So good.
Mm. It's like, it's almost like ice cream, only it's
healthy.
It's supposed to be more healthy.
It's definitely not ice cream. It's like, they're acai bowls.
Yes.
Is that how you say it? Acai, acai, it is acai. Thank you, Nicole.
And they're really good.
They're so good. And Gary, by the way, eats like a bird. He doesn't eat like anything except for healthy stuff like grass, nuts, things like that. But he does eat these acai bowls. So you're welcome to the McNamara family, because I got him to eat something new. But one of the times we were going out to get one of these bowls, and as we're leaving the car to go into the shop, Gary starts talking to this random person in the parking lot. And I'm like, Gary, what are you doing? What is happening right now? Why are you talking to this random person who is clearly sitting in his car just trying to enjoy his lunch break? And Gary starts talking to this person, and it dawns on me. Gary does this all the time. Whenever we go anywhere, Gary just starts talking to people. And it's not because, like me, he's a social butterfly, which he is, honestly, despite how mean his face looks sometimes. He is a social person, but you're owning your space. And this is, I started to learn this very quickly. What do you mean by own your space if people have never heard that before?
I it's so hard to explain, really, but I think it really comes down to the fact that you own who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you're very confident in who you are, and recognizing that your space changes. So it first comes down to that internal mindset. Now, it probably comes from being a cop. It definitely comes from being a cop.
It most definitely comes from being a cop.
Because you start to recognize the value of yourself and who you are, and you become more confident as a police officer. But it could be anybody, and it's really important that we share that with anyone to make sure that they are confident in their existence internally. But then at the same time, our space changes. So you're using the example of the parking lot. So we pulled into the parking lot, and we'll dive into it a little bit more. I get out of the driver's side, and Melissa gets out of the passenger side, and there's an individual sitting in the car next to her side.
With the window down.
And
he's just kind of chilling.
He's sitting there. Now, you know, he seemed nice enough, but at the same time, he's in the car. I value my space, and my space includes my car.
Mm-hmm. And he loves his car. Let me tell you, Gary loves his car.
And I,
he
I
does.
Do. And
it's spotless.
Yes.
I get anxiety sometimes going in the car because I love it.
Really?
Well, yeah, because it's like if I drop something,
right.
Forget
yes,
it.
Yes, we don't eat in the car. And so I just kind of went around the corner and just said hi to him. And it's
he didn't just say hi to him. Let's be clear. You were like, hey, man. Hey, we're going into Pliables. Would you like one? And this guy's like, what the actual? And Gary's striking up a whole conversation with him.
Well,
but why
yes.
do you do that?
Because I want people to recognize, first of all, I think it's important that we recognize people. And I mean that wholeheartedly.
No, you do, yeah.
So like, you know, any service person, you know, when I'm at work, I make sure that anybody that you know, cleans the office buildings or is, you know, a service worker, employee.
Right, acknowledging people in general.
I want to just say hi.
I agree.
And just greet them.
But it's, you didn't just simply say hi to this person who was just, again, a bystander, just somebody sitting in their car. This is different than when you're just acknowledging,
that's
hey,
right.
how are you?
Okay.
Or a simple
that's
smile.
Fair. That's fair.
This was a full conversation. And I think, and I've seen you do this before when we go through, gosh, anywhere. I swear, this man talks to everybody. But I realize why you do this. And it's because you almost want to make it clear to them that you see them and you're aware of them and that they should be aware that you're aware of them.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
It does. And I here's what I mean by it. I think when we say, and we've talked about it before on your morning show, the concept of see something, say something.
Right.
It's kind of passive.
Mm.
Like, you know, owning your space is more proactive.
Right.
It's saying that I am confident, I understand my surroundings, and I want to make sure that other people understand that I see them mm-hmm. and I understand that you're now part of my surroundings.
Right.
So I'm not saying this individual was going to break into my car or do anything wrong, but at the same time, he's there. I'm going to be kind, but at the same time, I'm making him aware of the fact that I see you.
Right.
And I'm going to engage you in conversation.
Well, and it kind of, to your point last week in the episode of the crime triangle, you kind of took out one of those corners, which was opportunity. Because if somebody feels like it's that idea of, Gary, when you're in the parking lot and you're leaving a grocery store, for example, the number one thing that you're always told is don't be on your phone. Don't be distracted. Look alert, you know, own, right. if you will, the space you're in from the exit doors to your car and be very alert, have the head on the swivel, like don't have the phone in your hand, don't be carrying a bunch of things. It's that same kind of concept because if, and again, we don't want to assume that people are out to get us, but it's that idea of if you by chance have the idea in your head that, hey, there could be opportunity here, let me kind of scour the parking lot. Gary just took his chance down big time as being a target because you made it clear to him before he could even say anything. Hey, I see you, man. How are you? And you were nice about it. The guy was very friendly. But you made it very clear to him that, hey, just so you know, I'm here. I see you. And I hope you know that I see you.
Yeah, it's not only a safety concept.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a life concept.
Right.
In other words, I'm by owning my space, I'm very confident. We talk about crime prevention and we say, you know, walk with purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to your surrounding. Don't look at your phone, as you just mentioned.
Right.
I'm living my space.
Mm-hmm.
By owning your space, you're living your space and
right.
recognizing that and making sure that everybody else understands and respects and appreciates your space.
Well, and I think actually used that example episodes ago. I don't remember which one. Don't quote me on that. But when you used to have your kids get on the school bus at the beginning of the school year, you would get on the bus and
right.
introduce
right.
yourself to the bus driver, not because you assumed anything bad would happen, but to make sure the bus driver knew, hey, here's who I am. Here is my child. I will be here. And again, to make a mutual meeting, if you will, but also to make sure it's clear I'm here. I'm present and you don't have to wait for me because I'm here and you now know I am here kind of a thing.
Yeah. And we've talked about it quite a bit because all of us deal with the slings and arrows of life.
Right.
You know, people trying to throw slings and arrows to bring us down a notch
mm-hmm.
and to try and enter our space. Most people enter for good, but there are those people that will, you know, that sometimes try to affect,
they prey on opportunity.
And they do. And they
sure.
affect the way you deal with life and crime and what have you. So by saying those three words, own your, yeah, perfect. I was worried that as I said three words, it might be four, but it's actually three words, own your space.
Own your space.
By saying those three words, it's a thing, it's a motivator so that you say, I am in charge of me
mm-hmm.
and you can't impact me and you won't impact me. Now, people will try. That individual that I kind of made a conversation with, number one, he takes it away that it could be just friendly, but I'm putting him on notice.
Mm-hmm.
By the way that I walk, by the way that I engage people, you're putting people on notice that I am confident. Even if I'm not confident, I give the appearance that I'm confident so that if you were looking at me or my car or Melissa as a victim of a crime, then look elsewhere because we kind of own
our space.
You're
already on my radar.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
You own your space.
And then you throw out the thing of, you know, do you want, we're going in, do you want one? And
yeah, oh yeah, he totally did. He's like, oh, did you want one? And the guy's like, no, you're a complete
right.
stranger. Like, if anything, he was using crime prevention against this kookadoo. And
yes.
I appreciated that. So that was good. Maybe he listens to the beat and the badge.
He does now.
He does now. But how do you know if you're owning your space, Gary? Because that was something that I really had to learn from you by obviously watching, but I don't know how many people you're taking out after this show to get an acai bowl. So if somebody's listening, unless they can go out on the town with you and actually see what owning your space looks like, what would you recommend? How do you learn to own your space? How do you know if you're owning your space?
Part of it, I think, starts with building confidence. And if we start talking about kids building our confidence, but anybody, even adults, even our seniors, our parents, to remember to always build their confidence, to recognize that they have to have that area of confidence. I'm not going to be a victim of something because I'm confident. That's the first thing. And then setting boundaries. We always talk about it with kids, about owning your space and setting boundaries. Mm-hmm. You know, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, and setting those boundaries is really, really important. And some of those are having those difficult conversations. But it doesn't, it comes down to all of us as well. Mm-hmm. Like if I enter a place, and this is just me from the years of being a cop, I want people to know I'm there. Mm-hmm. I do. And it can be, you know, you talk about the slings and arrows, it can be annoying for some people. It can be a challenge if you come into...
He's talking about his daughter, who I absolutely love. She's like, yeah, I don't get out of the car anymore, right, because he does this everywhere we go.
Yeah, poor Cassidy.
I love you, Cassidy. She comes I get it. Yeah. Although now it's fallen on me because Cassidy won't get out of the car. Now I'm the person that gets out of the car with you.
And you can see, like, I'll go into a location and I'll be a little bit out there. And, you know, and sometimes it rubs the wrong way on people, and I get it. But the point is that I'm always an active participant in my space.
Right.
Meaning that no matter where I am, I'm always paying attention. I'm always looking around, but I'm also always engaging because I'm owning the area that I'm in.
Right.
And that, I think, is the first concept you have to understand. You have to be confident in who you are and recognize that the way you enter a building, the way you leave, the way you're shopping and you're walking to your car, if you're looking on your phone, if you got your bags in your hand and you're not paying attention, you are not necessarily owning your space.
Well, and it's the same with anything. And I do want to differentiate because certainly Gary and I are not qualified therapists or anything. When we say owning your space and having confidence, there's a difference between, you know, the do I like myself? Do I like the person I look like? Things like that. That's a whole separate entity. What we're talking about, though, is understanding the value of just like life, staying alive. That's really I want to get down to the very basics, because when I talked about owning your space with people in the past, especially it tends to be females, quite frankly, because we sometimes have bad self-esteem. We may not like the way that we're aging, how we look, things like that. But I said that's a totally separate thing. That is for like a therapist. I'm talking about, do you value being alive? Do you value being safe? That's when we talk about the confidence, understanding the confidence of the value of human life, yourself, making sure that you continue on till the next day. I know that was very morbid, but they're two separate things, because you keep saying be confident, but this is the male-female thing going on here. It might be a little bit easier for a guy to just, okay, I can be confident, I can be, but it may not be that easy for people. So I want them to differentiate the fact that when you say to be confident, it's not the same as like, hey, go in there and know that you're the most beautiful person in the room. That might take years of therapy for some people. It's hey, go out into the world and know that you are worth protecting yourself. That's what we're talking about when we say owning your space and being confident in that. I just want to make sure.
No, yeah, I agree. And thanks
you
for
didn't,
the,
you didn't see that coming. You didn't see
no,
that coming.
No, but that's why this is the beat and the badge, because you know, I come at it from that long, and it's a lot easier. Not only is there a differentiation between, you know, maybe males and females, but certainly 30 years of law enforcement makes it a lot easier for me to own my space, because I've been doing it for over 30 years.
Well, and I was thinking about this because in particular, again, I have some friends and I even have family members who kind of, again, lack that confidence. And when I was telling them the things that I've learned from you, that was the number one thing is I don't even, you know, and again, I don't even like myself. How in the world can I be confident? No. Totally separate thing. First of all, you should love yourself. But that is like a totally separate thing than what we're talking about. When we say on our space, the example I always come up with is even when teenagers are walking to school, or when you're going out to get a walk at work, when you have both the ear pods in, you're not owning your space. The idea of like take one ear pod out and be aware, or, you know, something that I do if I'm alone. I don't know if you know I do this. So whenever I'm alone, I actually always have my phone. If I'm not on the phone with somebody, if I just want to like have nature to myself and be alone, I always have my camera on. And I actually will, from time to time, look as if I'm taking a selfie, but really I'm looking at if somebody is behind me or I check my surroundings. Yes. So it's that, that's what we mean by owning your space, is not being maybe confident in, that's a totally different realm. Just want to make sure I clarified that.
But I just to back up for a second.
Yes, please.
You actually said, when I'm alone, and then you said, I don't know whether you know that I do this, and I mean, how would you know?
I'm alone,
that you... are well, doing something when you're time, alone. But well, no, we
because,
would talk.
Well, because sometimes if I'm out walking alone, you're probably one of the only people I'm on the phone with. So when I'm not on the phone with you, you may not know this, but I will pretend to take selfies, but really it's me checking my surroundings every, you know.
And that is really the concept of owning your space. You're right. There's a whole other layer of being comfortable in who you are. That's a whole different thing. You're right.
We're not talking about
but
that.
But it's really knowing that your world is of value to you.
Exactly.
You know, we talk about it sometimes when students are walking alone. They don't even necessarily have to be on the phone with someone. But if they put their phone up to their ear, and I'm doing it like I'm holding a phone right now, and I pretend that I'm on the phone with somebody, that's a proactive way in which I'm owning my space. Mm-hmm. It's that I am confident and I feel safe and I'm protecting the boundaries of who I am. And yes, it doesn't have to necessarily be the person that's the loudest in the room, but it's the person that walks with purpose, that when you enter a coffee shop or you enter to get the new, I can never say the word, is the the bowls.
You've got this.
I'm engaging people.
Right.
I'm looking around. I'm paying attention to that. That's kind of owning your space. It's that I'm going into a coffee shop, and that's why Cassidy won't go in with me anymore. Because
I got
going
you, Cassidy.
In,
don't worry.
And I'm saying hello, or I'm acknowledging people because I'm owning the space that I'm at.
Well, in another thing that I learned from you, Gary, was even if there's not that opportunity to let a person know directly that you're aware of them, so they should be aware of you, this is something else I learned from you, is I never, if I do go alone, which is not often, but if I do go in a ride share, for example, or I get into a strange, you know, I don't know why I'd get into a stranger's car otherwise, other than like an Uber or Lyft, I will get into the car. And either I'm pretending or I actually am on the phone with somebody like you and be like, yep, I'm in the Uber right now, actually. And my GPS says I'm going to be there in about 20 minutes. I immediately engage in conversation right away, even if there's nobody actually on the phone with me. But that's another, you know, hey, own my space. I'm getting into a vulnerable place, which is your car. You're in charge of it. I am entering into a vulnerable place. So take that ownership back by owning your space and being like, look, I'm very aware. I see you. I know where we're going. We're doing the right thing, right? Oh, and by the way, I have somebody who's also tracking me. I have somebody who also is aware that I'm in this car right now. It's taking back kind of ownership, even when you're in vulnerable places.
Yeah, and it's deceitful in a way, because it's really playing a part. So to your point, you get in the car, and let's say the driver's name is John, and you say, what's your name? And you pretend you're on the phone.
Right.
And you say, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll be there shortly. John is your name? Yeah, John. Yeah, John is the Uber driver and he's taking me to wherever. So I'll meet you at the train station or whatever.
Right.
You've just kind of said that I know you and I'm comfortable.
I've identified you. Yeah, whoever's on the phone, they know
it's
you
those
now.
Simple things.
Right.
Getting on the bus each at the beginning of each year and thanking the bus driver and knowing their name and saying who I am. Yeah, it's nice. It is.
Yes.
It's sincere, but it also sends the message that if this individual were not sincere in their motives, then I've just identified them and I'm paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always paying attention. You know, we walked into that place to get those bowls. See how I just avoid saying it all together?
That was really good. No, that's good. You're owning the fact that acai is a tough word for
that's
you.
That's right.
You've
and,
got this.
And at the same time, then I'm engaging people because of that. And then just
paying
attention.
I mean, but to the point that to a fault, like, why did you call out poor Emily? I mean, honestly, she just wanted to pick up her bowl. So I'm going to go into a no, I can't. I can't go there. There was a woman who was picking up her bowl before us, and it did look really good. It was like a Nutella bowl.
Well, you said
something.
That. So
I did. I go, it looks really good. I think it's I don't know what that is, but it looks really good. And the woman goes, Emily, and Gary, before Emily gets to the table, is like, Emily, what did you order? And I'm like, oh God, please. Like, there was no reason. This poor girl just, and all of a sudden she's like, are you a danger? I'm like, no, he's totally harmless. He literally just wants to know what kind of bowl it is. So, you know, own your space, but, you know, to a fault. You didn't have to, poor Emily.
Well, fair enough. That's what I mean. Sometimes
this is why Cassidy stays in the car.
Exactly. It's the slings and arrows. Sometimes, you know, you overextend and you got to realize that maybe I should back up a little bit. But I think the whole idea is to, you know, when we talk about crime prevent, poor Emily. If Emily is listening, now we have two from that one trip.
Right.
We have the individual in the car, and then we have poor Emily inside the store.
Right.
But I think that the concept of owning your space, and it's so simple, is a really important crime prevention activity. Mm-hmm. Police officers do it all the time because we have to, mm-hmm. because we come with authority. Now, the badge and the uniform help us own our space because it signifies that authority. We don't want to overextend that authority, obviously, but it's owning our space.
No, but if you see a cop, you're naturally going to already kind of take a step back and be like, I'm going to go the other way, or I'm going to slow down on the road. You know, like you do. It does come with kind of the territory of a cop. But the average person who's not wearing a uniform or doesn't have a badge, I mean, even me as a reporter, if I don't show up with a jacket, a flagged microphone, a badge that shows that I'm with a news, let alone if it's with a news station that people actually know exists, I'm just like anybody else. And you're not going to cross our little tape here. You wouldn't even let me. You would never let me if I didn't have all
allowed.
The signage and badges
cool
and all the things.
That's right.
That's what I mean. Unless you have, like, if you're military or law enforcement or firefighter, most of us don't have that kind of, whoa, I'm going to go the other way. So you have to own your space if you don't have that cop mentality or that cop
right
outfit.
And it's easier for me to say that and do it than some people that are not as comfortable doing it, but it's such an important concept to remember, because if you're not owning your space, there are chances that someone bad may come into your space. So you want to kind of, and you know that, you if you saw a police officer get out of a car and he's very crisp and the uniforms fit and he's walking with purpose, that's a little different than an officer getting out of the car that's not necessarily as fit, that the uniform is sloppy. Owning your space is sending a message that I am confident in who I am and what I'm doing here, and I'm less likely to be somebody who you should mess with than somebody else. And it goes for kids online. It goes for everything. Those three words of owning your space, own your space online, that means if somebody makes you feel uncomfortable anywhere you are, and you feel that they're getting into your confidence space, your area, then you have to alert somebody. But owning your space is a proactive way in which we can prevent crime.